If You Fall, I Fall Harder, written by Mizzy and read by Patty, a Warehouse 13 fic, rated Gen. Summary: when Micah falls, she falls hard. Micah's 2 years old when she reads her first word, pushes her chubby fingers along the cereal box, shaping the letters and sounding out the letters as best she can. But the sounds feel too big for her mouth, and her lips are like rubber, and she exhales each syllable. L-K-I-C-H-A-M-S. Like each one is a discovery, and she falls in love with words from that point on. When Micah falls, she falls hard. Tracy copies her word, like Tracy always copies her hard work later in their childhood, coasting behind Micah despite her extra years, skidding along in Micah's academic slipstream and emerging just in time for her parents to see. So much of their life, it's Micah's clumsy duckling versus Tracy's beautiful swan, and it doesn't matter if Micah was smart first. It's not who's smart first that counts. It's who is seen as being smart first. So Micah is 3 years old when she realizes that being organized is the best way to do that. You had to scheme to fall into the light first, and even when Micah does it, spins into the spotlight with the right answer, and it's always the right answer. She's still not as pretty as Tracy, and that's like a burn that won't ever go away. Until a friend with too much kindness tells the air around her, speaks an awkward truth that flutters down Micah's spine, curls around her kidneys and settles in low in her body like a foundation of this person that Micah's become. And a year later, she joins the Girl Scouts because she can. Micah's 9 when her parents buy the bookstore, and she sits on the sidewalk in a pair of pink shorts that make her feel too girlish, and girls don't run, and girls don't climb, and girls aren't angles. And Micah's all of those things, growing too tall for her age, shooting up like a stalk, and she's graceless with it. She sits on the sidewalk in her shorts and rolls in the dust and watches the sign painter with wide, wide eyes as he adds in a careful hand, "and suns," in a shimmering gold color that darkens with Micah's mood, and weathers like Micah's heart, and she looks down at her dust-covered shorts and wonders if her parents wanted a boy, and is her decision to do boyish things her rebelling against Tracy's girlishness, or is she fulfilling a prophecy that never came true, or is she giving up now on the concept of ever being able to truly compete with Tracy's perfect body and effortless curves in the right places? Is she so enamored of the first place that dropping out of the race is the only option? All Micah has at age 9 and beyond is questions. Questions without answers. Questions that feel unhurried and urgent all at once. When Micah's 10, she learns French from the lady in the bakery, getting lessons in return for helping pick up things small hands could grip that old hands could not. By 12, she can speak French, Russian, and Latin. At school, she gets great marks and reviews from the teachers, but can't talk to people her own age. She can speak French, Russian, Latin, and a little Mandarin Chinese, but English is beyond her. She's 13 when she gets her first fencing trophy, even though the association takes it away when they realize the genderless name Micah belongs to a girl, and the whole competition was for boys. Micah says she doesn't mind, and she doesn't. The boys who flock around Tracy with adoration now side-eye her with admiration, and maybe fear. Maybe the boys are scared of Micah because she does better than everyone in school. She is ruthless and organized, and now she can kick anyone's ass with a flick of a wrist or an elegant balustra, and that knowledge makes leaving the Girl Scouts a year later hurt less. It still hurts. When Micah falls, she falls hard. She's 15 when the idea of college strikes, hot and warm on the back of her neck as she idles in Lincoln High School amongst the detritus of other children her age, who move around, languid and untroubled, unaware they're wasting crucial development time. She can't stand the way they posture, move around, slow and callous, hurtful and giving. She can't stand how slow they are, how stupid. They can't see that high school is a petri dish, and they're all percolating and growing and developing, and Micah is creating the framework that will serve her for the rest of her life. College was always an inevitability, but she had assumed it would be English literature. Working in the bookshop almost seemed as inevitable as college did. putting up with her father's constant demands for eternity. But Micah knows there's more than their small bookshop in the world, and it's the contents of the shop that have taught her this amazing lesson. With the pages of the tomes in the shop are 1,000 different worlds, worlds Micah's traveled her whole life. She's been with Guller and the Lilliputians, and she's danced with Oberon and Titiana, spent hours rewriting her history to expose the fact she's really Meg Murray. She's languished with Heathcliff and Jane Eyre on the moors, and spun into space with Dave and Hal, and faced her worst fears in Room 101 with Winston and Julia. Books have widened her world, and now Micah knows she can step into that world and grow, and maybe find a home that's more than shelves and someone else's. Read her father's expectations. Her father doesn't want her to leave, doesn't want her to work for the government. It makes those decisions easier. She's 16 when she falls in love for the first time. Kurt can't speak her language, Mass. Micah can speak French, Russian, Latin, and Mandarin Chinese, but it's English that's beyond her. And Kurt falls away from her. An impossible dream. And Micah hates herself for punching above her weight. Boys are Tracy's game and not hers. She vows never to love again, but that's just a peak of hormones. Micah's well-read enough to realize that. She cannot understand herself, but books let her understand just enough. She's 23 when she falls in love again, and Micah never does anything by halves. When she falls hard. So much that the repercussions and the echoes of the fallout last for years. When Sam dies, murder. There are no words, but murder, murder, murder. She can speak French, Russian, Latin, and Mandarin Chinese, but sometimes it's English that's beyond her. All she has left is her organization, her eye for detail, the prize of promotion. So when she's relocated to the warehouse, it feels like a physical blow, a thud in the place her heart used to be. She's 26 when she realizes she got relocated home, and 27 when she leaves the warehouse for good. Pete's eyes scraping her back, Helena's guilt weighing each step down, and leaving the warehouse is hard, so hard, but it's always been true. When Micah falls, she falls hard. When she comes back to the warehouse, there are still no words. She can speak French, Russian, Latin, and Mandarin Chinese, and English is beyond her. She learns to speak Pete, and Artie, and Claudia instead. Their language is all their own. She's still 27, and once again, she's in love. With the warehouse, with them, with her life. When Micah falls, she falls hard, but now she has people to catch her. When the warehouse itself eventually falls, it falls hard, because that's the only thing Micah will allow. The end.